Can't believe it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Apparently, children are consuming the equivalent of how many chocolate chip biscuits a day in sugar? Think about a chocolate chip biscuit, tasty wee fella. Right, how many of those a day are children eating when you consider all the sugar they consume? Presume they don't eat any chocolate chip biscuits at all, but they do take the equivalent amount of sugar that would be in how many chocolate chip biscuits? 1, 3, 5, 15, 17? Any advances in 17? 20, apparently. 20 chocolate chip biscuits a day your child is probably consuming in sugar. That's a lot of sweet stuff. Let me speak to Sarah Toole, who indeed is the head of information at the World Cancer Research Fund. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning.
Sarah, if you're the head of health information, that's a bit of information that you've given us there. 20 chocolate chip biscuits a day in sugar. Where are they getting all this sugar from?
Well, they're getting it from lots of different foods. So the most recent National Diet and Nutrition Survey found that this age group, 11 to 18-year-olds, are consuming over 73 grams of sugar a day, and they're only supposed to be having 30 grams or less. So it's more than double what they should be having. And the problem is that in a lot of the foods that are out there that we consume contain too much sugar, and a lot of it is hidden as well. So even lots of products that we think are healthy consume way more sugar than we expect. So it's just really hard for parents and children to keep their sugar limit.
So an example would be those lovely breakfast cereals that we have that look on the front of the box as if they're very healthy, absolutely cram-packed with sugar.
Yeah, cereals are a big culprit, yogurts as well, snack bars, and also fruit juices. And also lots of foods are marketed as low in fat, so they may be low in fat, but then they compensate for sugar quite often. So it's really important that people learn how to look at the labels and to learn how much sugar are in the products that they eat. And also trying to cook as much as you can from scratch, because then you know what's going into your food and you can ensure that it's healthy.
Yeah, cooking from scratch is the ideal, but it's not possible in this day and age for so many families. And you're suggesting that we eat less sugar because really the Obesity Health Alliance is urging the food and drinks industry to reduce the amount of sugar in their products. But sometimes they replace sugar with some form of artificial sweetener. There's such bad news about certain artificial sweeteners with regards to our health as well.
There's actually quite less evidence on that than we previously thought. So there have been lots of health scares around some of the artificial sweeteners that are available. But actually, so for example, we look at all the global evidence on cancer risk, and there was a health scare around, say, for example, aspartame and cancer risk. But actually, the evidence has shown that that risk doesn't exist. And what we're more bothered about today, the biggest problem for us, is that children are eating too much sugar, which leads to weight gain. And weight gain, being overweight and obese as an adult, does increase your risk of many cancers, 11 common cancers, and also many other diseases such as heart disease and type 2 diabetes. So we're really worried about this increase in overweight and obesity in children, because they're then more likely to be overweight as an adult.
So if something is low in fat but has lots of sugar, it'll still put on weight?
Well, it's about the calories. So if you're consuming more calories than you use, then yes, you're more likely to put weight on, unless you're burning it through physical activity. So fat, calories, sugar, they all turn into energy that our body uses. So yes, sugar is a big culprit in terms of putting on weight.
Now, when I was growing up, my parents were post-war people and they never had any chocolate and all of that. So when we were born in the 60s, there was an element of you were rewarded all the time with confectionery. Confectionery was everywhere. And I gorged on chocolates and sweets until I saw the light of day when I was in maybe my 20s or whatever. Today's children coming through don't have that excuse of parents not being educated. We, myself as a parent, or indeed younger people than me, know we should not be giving confectionery to children, but we still do it. It must break your heart to see youngsters gorging on confectionery.
Yeah, and it's really interesting that you bring up that psychological issue that there is there as well. You know, we were rewarded with sweets. I was in my childhood, and you create an emotional relationship with that food. So it's really important to try and not build those relationships when children are younger. But actually, just looking back at the survey, even though we've looked at, we've picked up 11 to 18-year-olds because they were the worst group and were consuming the most sugar, actually we saw that every single age group, from younger children to older age, we're all eating too much sugar. So there are different reasons. We've all grown up with different cultural backgrounds, and there's reasons why we like our sweet foods. But actually, it is a problem across all ages, and it's still a problem even with younger groups. So even the 4 to 6 year olds are having way more than they should be having.
I'm also old enough to remember the conversation about tobacco starting. Is sugar the new tobacco?
I'm really glad you brought that up, actually, because a lot of the foods and drinks that we talk about in terms of how bad they are for our health, such as alcohol and sugar, there is often a bit of a backlash that, you know, we're the party poopers, and, you know, we're telling people that everything increases their risk of cancer. But yeah, it's really important to look back at what happened with smoking. And at one time, we did think that smoking was good for us as well. So we really want people to be more aware of how their lifestyle, what they eat, how their weight, how it all increases their risk of many diseases, including cancers.
And overweight or obese children are likely to be overweight or obese as young adults, or indeed as older adults, putting all of us who are overweight at risk of the 11 most common cancers. No guarantee that people who are going to be slim and trim won't have cancer, but if you are carrying weight, you're at greater risk.
Definitely. It's one of our biggest factors in terms of looking at all the different lifestyle factors. Apart from smoking, overweight is the biggest thing that you need to address in order to reduce your risk of cancer. And we've also had more recent evidence as well that show that even if you're thin on the outside but not healthy on the inside, so for example, if your insulin levels aren't balanced, which sugar is one key factor for, that also you have a higher risk of certain cancers. So it's the whole holistic health that we need to look at. But being overweight is one of the key things that we need to address, which is why we're so keen for the government to comply with these new reformulation recommendations to reduce the amount of sugar in foods by 20% by 2020, because this will have a huge impact on the health of our children, the overweight and obesity epidemic, and gradually help reduce the risk of many diseases, including cancer.
Taxing sugar is not going to help, so it isn't.
It's one of the things we can do.
People are still going to buy the reward. There's those who are probably less well off and not listening to the depth of this conversation because they don't have many other options. They're still going to find the money for the sugar.
Well, what we've found with the sugar tax is that what it's actually having an impact on is the industry itself. So because they want to avoid the levy, they are looking at ways that they can reformulate their drinks. So it's having an impact on production itself, which then will transfer as a benefit to the public as well. And we've learned a lot from what's happened in Mexico, where they introduced this levy way before we were discussing it. And they have definitely seen that it's had a positive impact on the products that people are buying. They're buying less sugary drinks and they're opting more for water. So it does have a positive impact. But as I said, there's a lot that we need to do. We need to tackle obesity from every angle. And these are just a few of the ways that we can do this.
Of course. But finally, are you up for the fight with the sugar industry?
We are. And the Obesity Health Alliance, you know, we've outlined what we think is most important. We're there to support them, but we really just want to urge them to comply with these new reformulation recommendations to help keep our children healthy.
Okay. Sarah, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's Sarah Toole, who's the head of health information at the World Cancer Research Fund. It is pretty scary when you hear what she's saying, how dangerous sugar is for us. And what steps are you taking to ensure that your child isn't consuming the equivalent of 20 chocolate chip biscuits every single day? That's horrific. It's